It's now playing. A sampling of the best new original content at NintendoWorldReport.com. Hey everybody, you might be wondering why this is at the start of the show and not at the end. Well, we're only doing a one-segment show this week, I'll explain that next. And John's not here, so it's just me. And I figured I'd do it at the start, just to keep you on your toes. But first up this week, we have a review on the Wii U of Skylanders Supercharged by Neil Ronahan. What's it like to race, battle, and play as Bowser and Donkey Kong? Well, you already know the answer to that question. But what's it like to do it in the world of Skylanders? Actually, it turns out, it's pretty great. You can read more about it there. Next up, we have a feature from the staff called Remembering Super Mario Bros. 2. How I remember Super Mario Bros. 2 is nightmares and throwing turnips at people. But for the rest of the staff, it's a much more conventional experience. We also have a review of Year Walk by Kim Keller. A, quote, calm beauty and chilly creepiness puzzle adventure that features Swedish folklore asking the players to win back their love. Previously on iOS, now you too can get your love advice from a horse head man on the Wii U. And lastly, we have impressions from Tokyo Game Show. Danny Bivens braved the crowds of Tokyo to get you impressions of Project Cross Zone 2, Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney 6, Monster Hunter X, and Seventh Dragon 3 Code VFD, as well as the new Hyrule Warriors port to 3DS. All this 3DS love, you might think the system's got its long and happy life ahead of it, Wii U not included. All this and more is available to you right now, and it is included for you at NintendoWorldReport.com. And welcome to Radio Free Nintendo episode 445. I am your host, James Jones. I'm pretty sure I got the episode number right. With me today is Mr. Greg Leahy.
Hello, I missed Throaty James from last week's No Playing. It took me quite a few sort of minutes to get off the idea that you were just doing a Sylvester Stallone impression.
I legitimately could not do that voice if I wanted to. And I do, because it would be fantastic. But yep.
I liked it. Bring it back, I say.
Alright, I'll just go stand out in the cold once the winter comes. Yeah. And just get sick every week. Also joining us this week is Mr. Guillaume Veillette.
Yeah, I thought actually maybe you had, messed up with your audio or something. Went in Audacity and lowered the pitch, it sounded unnatural.
So when I called John to do Now Playing, he could not believe what was going on. And I had to assure him that he was indeed listening to the real James Jones, which is why the Now Playing starts with me assuring everyone that no, I didn't screw with the audio. This is just who I am right now. So, if any ladies are listening and thought that was particularly enjoyable, I will go stand out in the cold if that's what it takes. But this week we're going to do something a little bit different because, as you probably have collected, Mr. Lindemann isn't here today. He is preparing to travel, so he took the episode off. And because we finally have ended the autumn of too many leaves and Nintendo has released a big game, Super Mario Maker, we figured we would take kind of an abbreviated show and just sort of talk about our impressions of using the application, of to a certain extent what the stages are like. We don't want to get too much, you know, too into the weeds about levels that we've played or levels that we've made, because it doesn't really necessarily carry as an audio conversation. But talking about the tool as a utility and as a toy and as a game, I'm going to get in trouble for calling it a toy, I think there's some fruitful conversation that we can have there, so that's what we're going to talk about. So there's no listener mail this week.
We'll pick it up next week. We have an enormous amount of listener mail at this point that we need to get through, and there will be some high-speed emailing coming up soon. Also wanted to remind everybody that we have the Super Mario Maker inspired, as in Super Mario Maker not reflecting, retroactive that we posted last week. That is games not in Super Mario Maker. We ended up picking a rather eclectic collection of games, to say the least. If you haven't seen that list, it is Mario Tennis Power Tour, Mario Party Advance, Mario Pinball Land, and Super Smash Bros. It will be ending Thursday, the poll. So get your votes in. Right now it is very, very close. And we will use some of the other suggestions we received in a future retroactives going forward. But for now, let's talk about some Super Mario Maker. First, I want to go around the room, I guess is the word I'd use for it here. And just general impressions. What's it been like? Guillaume, why don't you go first?
Sure. Well, I got the game after you guys. I got in on Monday because I ordered it. Anyway, so I got in on Monday. I don't have everything unlocked, but ever since I got my hands on the game, I've been kind of addicted. And partly it's because Karen is away for the week, so there's no one to, you know, like to take the TV away from me or to get me to do some other things. So
yeah,
it's
if it's strictly the TV thing, this is a hell of an off TV game.
Oh, it is, it is. But I mean, like, just like, I don't know, I've been ordering takeout and not really sleeping all that well. So yeah, it's been an addiction recently. Yeah. So basically,
Super Mario Intervention.
Yeah, like initially you can't really do that much with the set of tools that they give you, but soon my routine became like, okay, I create a level, I try to fine-tune it, and eventually the gamepad battery goes bad, and so I put the gamepad on the charger, and I use the Wii Remote to play other people's levels until way too late, and then I check obsessively on Miiverse to see who liked my levels or not, and it's not good.
It does let you keep score, you know, doesn't it?
It does.
If you click on the information bit with the, you know, who starred it out of the people that have encountered it, you know, you can see who's finished it, who starred it, you know, it's very thorough that way. I think there could be some friendship destroying stuff going on. Some rivalries consuming people out there in the communities.
Why didn't you start?
Yeah, well, I have noticed that Johnny still hasn't touched my levels, so I don't know what's up with that. But geez. And he's got 200 freaking stars.
Yeah, that's
fuck
the power
that
of the
guy.
I'm behind you two, so you know I could say the same of you.
I've been aggressively promoting myself on Twitter. So
yeah, this is the problem, isn't it? You know, it's all about that. This is where my aversion to Twitter has finally
join
been
us,
me.
Greg.
No, yeah. No. Although we should say, really, if you want to follow our levels, the quickest way is, I guess, just to give our Miiverse IDs and then to put in what, if you're not already following us on Miiverse, then, you know, if you put in our IDs, then pull up a post that has a level code in it from us. Put that in the search in the courses part of Course World, and then once you find one level of ours, you can just follow us, and then, you know, it'll be a lot easier to find all the rest of our levels.
Why is it so hard?
I
just don't understand why it doesn't interface with the friends list you already have.
Or the following list.
It kind of does, but only one way. Like, you see when you post levels in Mario Maker, it does show up on Miiverse.
Yeah.
But Miiverse doesn't show up
in Mario Maker.
It's terrible, and I don't understand it. Like, I kind of understand maybe, like, Nintendo's thinking people probably want to keep these things separate, but then they don't separate them completely. Like, you see, I don't know. Like, it doesn't make any sense, and it's almost as if they were reviving the friend code.
I would have been quite happy if it had just been sort of an opt-in thing of, like, okay, you know, if Mario Maker could just recognize the friends list that you have on Wii U, mm-hmm. and then say, do you want to follow all of these people in Mario Maker, provided they've got the game? I'd be quite happy to just have an opt-in to that and be done with
maybe,
it.
Maybe that's a reason. Maybe Nintendo hasn't really found a way for Miiverse to tell the game who has the game.
Well, I don't. It's a bit baffling to me what the hell is going on with it. But, you know, in the end, it's not that bad, you know, because you only really have to do one code for a person's level, and then, you know, you could follow that person, and then from that on, then on you don't have to write any more codes for them. And, you know, at this point, I've probably got most of the people that I'm following on my Miiverse feed, you know, keyed in and stuff. Although I would say, even then, what I would prefer when you go to the following part of Course World, it's the Makers part, is if it just showed a list of, you know, like the Miiverse activity feed. Okay, so yeah, this person posted this level, rather than just all the people, and then I have to click the individual people to see if they've made anything new since last I checked.
Yeah, that definitely could be improved. And to get the Miiverse thing out of the way, like there is perhaps like the easiest way so far I've found of adding people is you can see who has played a level, like any level, one that you made or one that someone else made.
Yeah.
By highlighting the kind of the steps and the stars counter for that course. And so you click that and you see the list of people who played it. And so what I've been doing is checking like my levels, who played them, and if I see handles, like names that I kind of recognize from Miiverse or from Twitter or from message forums, then I follow them back. And
So no, that seems kind of to be kind of a propagation of follows, what happens then, isn't it? You know, people play each other's levels and then it kind of goes out from there and it's not too painful. But you know, it's a shame that it has to be that kind of indirect, either that or, you know, actually putting in the 16 character code for a specific level.
Well, to keep this from being true RFN fashion, let's talk about some good stuff first. As opposed to leading off with just like, God damn it, Nintendo.
Just to cap off my Mario Maker experience, I guess what I wanted to say is that it's gotten unhealthy just how much I see gratification from this this thing. You know, it's kind of like I've been doing that with every time I post a podcast as well. Like, I immediately go on NeoGAF and on the Nintendo World Report forums to see, like, oh, what are people saying? What are people saying? And I should probably step back.
Well, especially right now, because the answer appears to be not much.
Right.
I know you're listening. Please post. It'll make us feel better.
Yeah.
That joke came out way more beggy than I expected it, so I apologize already. Things have already gone wrong.
Many
in this
true
episode.
Things said in jest, James.
God damn it! All right, Greg, how has Super Mario Maker wormed its way into your heart? Wigglered its way into your
pretty
heart.
Pretty thoroughly. Wigglers get angry. Wigglers pre-angried up. Wigglers shot out of cannons underwater. Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. My Mario Maker experience started at midnight of the 11th of September, just to do it the European way round, which Nintendo of America adopted out of respect.
I can't imagine why.
It started at midnight. I downloaded the game digitally because if there's ever a game I've wanted digitally, it's this one. You know, it's obviously, yeah, we're all kind of caught up in the fever of it now. You know, everybody's making levels, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But this is something that's going to have legs for me as an experience, I think, just to have on the system all the time. Not something I need to think about putting the disc in, to just boot it up and say, oh, let's see if anybody I know has made some new levels, or let's just play the 100 Mario challenge to see what it spits out at me. You know, like that's always just going to be such a casual thing. You know, I mean, Mario games are very good for that sort of thing in general, I think, and this one, with its sort of potentially unending sort of stream of content, is really good. So I downloaded it straight away. I was basically working my way through my first level with just the very initial set of tools that you have in the first lot, while watching the pre-game for the NFL's opening game.
Nice.
It certainly was a lot more entertaining than just only hearing about Deflategate for the nth time. So I got close to finishing that first level once the game kicked off, but I didn't. And then a few hours later, once it was pretty clear which way the wind was blowing in that game, I finished it off. So that was my first level done, which was just based around springs. And from there, I started mostly playing other people's levels for quite a while. And that's great fun. I mean, it was nice to kind of branch out, because in those very early stages, which Guillaume kind of avoided by buying the physical copy, getting it a bit later, you had the situation where almost all the levels were like in the 8-bit or the new Super Mario Brothers aesthetic.
Right.
You know, because right. People hadn't, even though you can brute force it, obviously a lot of people hadn't. I hadn't. But it was really nice when, you know, you would put the list up of like featured courses or whatever, and see like a Super Mario World where it's like, ooh, I'll play that, you know. And, you know, not, the level wasn't always awesome on that basis, but, you know, it kind of filtered out a little bit, because it kind of gave you the people who were really committed to, like, they had just completely...
I will unlock everything.
Yeah, and you know, some of those levels were actually really good. So that was great. And I've got to admit, one of the biggest sort of thrills about this for me is just kind of more Super Mario World. You know, like that's such a special game to me, such an important game in my sort of gaming life. And to you know, with the Mario 3 part of it, you are missing quite a lot. I mean, you know, one of the things people remember about Mario 3 is the multitude of power-ups, which you don't really have. You don't have the frog suit or the Tanuki suit. But with Mario World, because they paired it back, you've almost got everything. You've got Yoshi, you've got the cape, you know. I mean, they haven't got some of the little details like, oh, Yoshi's powers when he swallows a particular shell of a particular color or
right,
that
threw me off. Like, yeah, oh, I just ate a red shell. Like, come on, I should be spitting fire.
Spitting fire, flying, the stomping. But a little bit sad about that. But in general, I mean, it's there. You know, you've got those mechanics from Mario World all there. And just, you know, flying with the cape, like Matt Walker, who's been on the Famicast and been a Japan correspondent for NWR, he made a level that was just based around using the cape to fly through formations of buzzy beetles, you know. And it's just nice to have a challenge using those mechanics again. I always loved them, and of course they never really came back.
Right.
You know, in anything. You've had other flying items, you've had the 3D games have had some flying in and stuff, but it's never been the same. And that's one of the things I really love, is just seeing all this stuff that's kind of, you know, like some sort of hypothetical sequel to Mario World, where, you know, like, for instance, you have airships in Mario World, and it has its own remix of the Mario World sort of central theme, the song, applied to the airship.
That's just like the first time that I saw Hammer Brother in the Super Mario Maker, Super Mario World theme, I was like, oh yeah, I guess there was never a Hammer Brother Super Mario World.
No.
Because like, I've never seen that sprite before. They had to create one. It's cool.
It's cool seeing the things they create to kind of blend it, you know. And of course, it goes back the other way, where you sort of get, you know, like things like the clown car sort of demade for the 8-bit games and all that kind of stuff. So, I do like all of that kind of extensions of the of this these games that I already have this very strong kind of affection for, and seeing how they go. But I guess the biggest thing has just been, you know, playing the levels, seeing what people are creating. I guess, you know, I don't know how long it will last, but at the minute there's just a curiosity for me in terms of, you know, what are people making? What kind of level are they making? Are they making, you know, puzzle levels, ridiculously hard levels, or, you know, levels that try and approximate an actual stage from a Mario game? It's just seeing the balance, seeing, you know, how much do people want to, like, play with the sound effect stuff or the amiibo costumes and all this kind of, it's at this point, all of that stuff is pretty interesting. You know, so the courses themselves don't have to be like universally brilliant to make it a good time. I assume that will wear off eventually. Right. But for this first week, it's been pretty good.
Yeah. I did the route of I want to get to everything, because it always felt like there's just one thing I want to have. But I've been kind of obsessively tinkering in in the Maker area, and really I haven't played that much. I've done a few passes through the 100 Mario challenge, a few passes through the 10 Mario challenge, mostly just to get access to the amiibo costumes.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, those I delight in the strangeness of playing a Super Mario stage as the question mark block.
Like, it's just the little details as well, you know, that go into them. You know, like the little, you know, they have their own victory fanfares, their own death fanfares, their own sound effects. And like seeing 8-bit Ganondorf kicking his little legs underwater is just hilarious. Like,
even down to the degree that Toad says something different if you clear one of those challenges as...
That's right, yeah. They do, like, but you could turn up as Bowser, isn't
yes.
it?
And then... and he's just terrified. He goes, what are you doing here? And then, like, that's sort of the end of the segment. But, like, showing up as the question mark block has been a personal challenge I've been trying to accomplish, but nobody's given it to me yet, because I just want to know what he'll say.
Like, if you play as one of the Inklings, you know, from the Inkling amiibo, when you crouch, you go into the squid form.
Yes.
It's just those details are real. I've probably only seen at this point, like, a fraction of all, because there's loads, isn't there? So,
yeah.
That's going to be fun to keep kind of discovering.
Yeah, and not all of them.
Some of my favorite stuff that I've seen from some people, I think Kirby Tashi on Twitter, anyway, I think he's a listener, but he made this stage where you've got several vines close together, and they're like going through the level, and he used the Donkey Kong Jr. sprite.
Yes.
And it's perfect, because you see actually, like, it's the freaking animation when he's going from vine to vine, you know, like he's just like hanging on with one arm and reaching for the other vine with the other, and it's perfect. I love it.
Yeah, so the level of thought that seems to have gone into using them is kind of surprising, to be honest. I mean, it's not that I think Nintendo's implementation of amiibo has been substandard to what I would have expected given the cost of the device, but they really seem to have put a lot of effort into using these things broadly and coming up with kind of creative little touches for all of them. And,
I think that this hits a bit of a sweet spot for me, because the problem, you know, I don't think I'm too far into just amiibo in general, but the problem with that kind of element is to the experience tying it into this physical product is, you know, if it's too integral, shall we say, then people complain, because it's like, oh, you know, the content's gated by this toy that I don't, you know, maybe
right.
want. And then if it's just completely superfluous, like, well, what's the point? I think this is kind of a nice sweet spot, because it just kind of feels like they've gone to a significant effort to make these costumes kind of fun, but I just can't imagine they would have done that without the amiibo kind of thing, you know, like, I don't know whether they would have had the idea, you know, to just do all these characters, you know, whether it's your Fire Emblem characters, Pokemon, you know, I mean, it really is everything in this
right.
case, pretty much.
Yeah,
I just can't imagine they would have thought, yeah, let's do 8-bit Pikachu in Mario Maker, had it not been for the fact that amiibo exists. So it's something where you kind of does feel sort of genuinely extra, rather than just lopping a bit off and walling it or anything like that.
Yeah, like you would think, like Samus and Link and Kirby, like that kind of makes sense. I think they would have thought of it, but the Inklings and I think they went much farther with the idea than they would have otherwise without amiibo.
Yeah, so it just feels like you're getting something a little extra, and you don't actually have to own the figures to even enjoy that. The fruits of that altogether, because, you know, people put it in their levels, and then you get to play them, and you can unlock the costumes through the 100 Mario Challenge, which, you know, I've quite enjoyed using that. I mean, yes, you know, it's down to luck a bit, you know, how much you're going to enjoy any particular run, but the flick feature, the flicking away a level that you're tired of, is extremely cathartic. I mean, it is kind of like the Mario version of the Gong Show. It's just like, okay, no, I've had enough of you. Get off the stage. You know, it's a great feat of just, like,
yeah.
Sometimes the funniest is when you just take one look at it and go, no. You don't even move him forward
not
a single step. And you're just like, no. I mean, there was one that was actually called Troll Level, like, straight away.
Come on.
So I was like, shall I just flick it straight away? No, all right. And then I pressed jump and died instantly. That's all I'll say about it. So to be fair, it's like, well, it delivered. It did what it said on the tin. I then promptly flicked it away.
I've seen sort of this run of just these crazy levels that... So I unlocked the hard 100 Mario challenge and mm-hmm. sort of went into there and just skipped stage after stage of just complete unimaginable horseshit. But my favorite was one that was simply called Don't Get Any Mushrooms. And then
a really popular level,
it is.
I think. To be fair, it might be about 70.
Oh, no, it is popular, but, yeah. The stage starts and there's just this fucking tidal wave of mushrooms. And I'm like, okay, why can't I have any of the mushrooms? So I just stand there and take it. And I pick up, I don't know, 1,000 mushrooms in about a 3-second window. And then I go walking and realize, oh, if you're Big Mario, you can't walk through any of these spaces. Great. And then realize, like, the only way to not get mushrooms is to basically know exactly where every single one of them is. I'm like, nope, we're done here.
Yeah.
Skip.
Yeah. I don't know, the way that the difficulty is spread is, I guess the names of the, like, easy, normal, and hard are actually, like, pretty good descriptions. Like, if you take the easy 100 Mario's path, then you're mostly going to get auto-playing levels where you're not supposed to touch anything and you're going to make it to the end. And then normal, I think, has the best ratio of, you know, not too many frustrating levels and nothing that plays itself. But the hard mode, I only managed to finish it once and I had 4 lives left.
And... Yeah, I don't think I've gotten through the hard mode ever.
I've got through it, but I think when I did it, it was still in the really early phases of the game. You know, like, so I downloaded it at midnight, so it wasn't even out in America yet at that point. You know, most of the levels at that point had Japanese titles because Japan had it a day earlier than us, or maybe a couple days, whatever it was. And that was problematic because, as you've probably seen, like the level you spoke about, James, many levels have an instruction or a hint in the title. So sometimes when you're playing a Japanese level, you're like, there's probably something that should be telling me what to do here, but I am out of luck. So
we don't get a translation.
So my favorite one of those, and I was actually toying with the level with a similar mechanic, and then I saw somebody did it. It's a Japanese level. The level description is, if you can read katakana and hiragana, is kuru kuru jumpu, which would be basically spin, 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 jump.
As in kuru, kuru, kururin.
Yes. But if you can't read those or don't know what those words mean, and you don't know about this, the fact the spin jump makes you go further in New Super Mario Brothers only, you could never clear that stage. Ever.
Yeah, I do love that. That's something that the sort of part of the New Super Mario Brothers mechanics that really I'm not that fond of the aesthetic.
Right.
It wouldn't necessarily be my first choice with making levels, but I've made 2 New Super Mario Brothers levels because of the fact that you can carry things and that you could do that little spin jump in the air to.
Well, and it's got wall jumping too.
Wall jumping. You could spread it. All those mechanical things. Just give you more options with level design, which are really nice.
I'm still at the point where I only have the original and the new Super Mario Brothers themes, so no Mario 3, no Super Mario World, and I do enjoy the new Super Mario Brothers series, but in this game, you're missing so many of the things that makes those games fun for me, or
all the crazy,
like, kind of original. And... Yeah, like there's really awesome power ups, but there's also like the rolling hills, like the coins that appear if you go certain places.
Oh yeah,
the star coins is a big miss because that's really a lot of how they make a lot of those levels more interesting. You're replaying and all that, hidden exits is another thing you can't do. Mm-hmm. You could kind of simulate it a little bit, you know, with sort of multiple paths to the goal.
Right.
TYP made a level like that. One of my levels is kind of like that. But you know, it's. It's a shame you can't actually put a bona fide second exit in or something like that.
Yeah, but because there's so many elements that make New Super Mario Brothers what it is absent from this, then you're only left with basically the aesthetics and some of the basic techniques like the spin. So I found myself like, wow, I never knew that I liked the original Super Mario Brothers look so much, but almost all my levels yeah. had been that look because it just, it looks better to me. It just, the music is better and I'm just, I don't know, like, I'm sure that will change.
I am
like the other two themes, but.
I mean, a very odd visual detail I noticed about the new Super Mario Brothers palette, if you will, is that the enemies, quite a number of the enemies seem to be doing the Super Smash Brothers for 3DS thing, where they are running in 30 frames, whereas a lot of other things
weird.
Are running in 60. So they kind of look like stop motion animation compared to Mario. You know, like the thing is, once you see it, you can't unsee it. And I'm
damn
fairly
it.
Convinced that that was not the case in the New Super Mario Bros. U, New Super Luigi U. So I assume
New
it's
Super
some,
U.
I assume it is something that they've put in there to accommodate for the fact that you know, people are going to have like a shit ton of objects at the level.
Yeah.
You know, hordes of angry wigglers fired out of cannons in the water. So, you know, that is, I guess, an accommodation they had to make that, you know, that's like the assist trophies in Smash Brothers, you know, the non-interactive elements could
right.
run at a lesser frame rate to lighten the load. But it does get a little irritating to look at for me. It's really trivial, but it's just bothers me a little bit. But
you know,
so I trust James that you're going to edit out this information so that you can save listeners from noticing and be annoyed by it.
Nope.
It's too late for us. But...
Yeah, that's not a bad
I might leave it in because I might want to suffer like I did. I will say that I was a little surprised that the barrier to the number of enemies you can have on screen is a little bit low. Because I went and used all of my available resources of just Lakitus and then realized I had to actually make the stage smaller because I had run out of Lakitus, which was a big, big disappointment for me. I wanted to have an unending stream of Lakitus to going throughout the sky, but I understand why they would have to do that, because ultimately I can imagine if you got like a bunch of like the giant Bowsers on screen, like just set it on fire. Nothing's going to work. I would say that in terms of going back to the topic of which things we find ourselves using, I found myself using Mario 3 a lot, which is weird because I have no real nostalgia for Mario 3. I didn't play it as a child. I didn't play it until this show, really. I mean, I played it a little bit.
Yeah, I was in the same sort of circumstance. It was a little bit before I joined when I got to play it from start to finish, but it was in 2007 or something, because
yeah.
I just, as I've said many times, our NES died and we moved on to Super Famicom before it ever got to European shores officially.
I just found myself really digging the music, and it was really just a function of like, this is the music I want to listen to while I'm making a stage, because I usually spend, you know, an hour or so on a stage. I don't, you just crank them out real fast.
The music, the way it's done, where you've got the, it's sort of half of it is kind of there. And then
right.
as you lay in elements of a stage, you might be drawing in blocks or whatever it is, that, you know, it sort of says what they are, but in a way that completes the music.
Right, with auto tuning.
Yeah, with the auto tuning. It's really fun. Like some of those sort of, it's essentially sort of remixes of those classic songs that function really nicely for, you know, like, so sometimes you might be at work at these things for ages. I mean, that's certainly, I found myself, it's with me, it's kind of like, I will struggle to get going. I need a kernel. I need of an idea.
Right.
You know, I need something to kind of a basis on which to sort of start putting something together. That could take a while. You get false starts on, but once you have something that's sort of half, three quarters built, and you're in that iterate kind of phase, refine, correct, or change little detail, that for me is really, that's where it gets to that kind of obsessive point, which is a bit troubling. You know, you know, I'll move this one block this way and change the proportions a little bit and all that, and then you come back from it, have I actually made it any better? I'm not sure I have. It's you know, it's you could really go crazy with it.
Yeah, there's a stage that I was messing with where I just wanted to use all the doors because you get four sets of doors.
And I played this one.
I didn't have the pipes yet, so I was frustrated because I couldn't use pipes. I wanted to use, you know.
You didn't have the sub-world thing.
Which is weirdly the last thing you get.
Really?
Yeah, which is a bummer. Like, that's something I wanted early.
I really want invisible blocks and...
Oh, you'll get those pretty soon.
Okay.
Yeah, they are quite late. That was something that... what I found was I kind of got up to the point of... I made my first level straight away, as I mentioned. After that, I didn't really get up going on a level completely until I got the castle set, which happened just organically. I didn't speed it up or whatever. It was pretty much just there once a day from then on. But once I got the castle set and started working on a level, I kind of got pretty much to completion with that and had sort of opened up a few more tool sets in the process of doing that. And then I was like, I really would like to add one or two things here to finish this level the way I want it finished. And I don't have those yet. So it was at that point that I kind of brute forced it and unlocked the rest of them as quickly as possible, which is, if people don't know, you just
spam tiles.
Make sure you use everything new that you've been given that's got a little exclamation point on.
And it'll give you an alert once you're at that point.
Yeah, and then, yeah, just put a whole bunch of stuff on screen.
So, I mean, the way I did it was I basically took ground, went to the top right corner of the map, and just held the D-pad on
I love the way you can dash with that as well. If you hold the run button when you're moving across, it goes faster.
But so I did it one time with Munchers, so I got to go as I was just slamming them across the screen. But like sped up, so it was doing like 30 a second. It was fantastic.
Yeah, like the I didn't think I would be annoyed by the slowness of the unlocks, but I kind of was. And what I ended up doing was kind of proof of concept stages, kind of experiments, and like some really simple stuff with like there's one of my favorites I made with like a big shell and trampolines, and I wanted to see like, oh, can I just put tons of bricks everywhere and have this giant shell clear a path for Mario, but also make it more interesting by having it bouncing around and stuff. And but I like in my head, like I've got a much more complete vision than what I ended up making, where like the shell eventually has to come back, clear a path to this this pipe at the beginning that you have to enter to actually complete the level. But can't do that for several more days. So
yeah.
Like, I just was like, okay, well, let's see if I can actually kind of figure this out. And so I tried stuff with the trampolines, and I posted it because why not? Like, it was still kind of fun. It's just really, really short and kind of one note. But experimentation is allowed, you know?
Yeah, I think there is certainly having to go without the pipes has certainly made me better at using some of the other stuff. Like, cordoning off sections of the map is distinct areas. Even though they're not really distinct areas, I can kind of hide them from you by not letting you go to certain places. Like, that sort of made me kind of laterally stretch my thinking about how to lay out, how to use a game map. And one of the 100 Mario stages I saw, somebody had basically made, like, 70 tiny compartments and just strewn them throughout the stage using all sorts of weird black magic to let themselves do that. And so you get around these areas, and that kind of, you know, I started thinking, okay, if I can, you know, if I cut this thing out into four or five components, you know, I can give four or five distinct areas, and that sort of gives me flexibility that the pipe will eventually have. So it does sort of force you to kind of plan ahead a little bit, which sometimes I like, but sometimes I like just going, screw it, let's see what happens, and just throwing stuff down and just letting it go. I kind of usually go in with an idea, like, I want to make a stage where you have to jump on a lot of freaking bullet bills. And then and then usually I go, like, God, the stage is boring. I don't know, Giant Bowser. Giant Bowser riding Giant Bowser. Done. And then suddenly you're being chased by a Giant Bowser shooting homing bullet bills at you. And you're like, all right, that's a stage. Upload.
I think it was. Did Johnny make the level with the Bowser that's got a bullet bill turret mounted?
No, that's James.
I did that. Yes. And it shoots
bloopers.
Oh, that's it. Shoots bloopers. Yeah, that's definitely.
I died way too many times on that level.
And the funny part,
Like, so. When, like, Bowser just has to move different ways, and then the blooper shoots out in a different place, yeah. So it always caught me off guard, or, like, went, okay, well, okay, I can, it's no, safe to jump here.
You just shoot
nope.
the most unpredictable thing.
Like, every part of that stage is 100% deterministic, except for what Bowser does at the start.
Yeah.
Which, to me, was the ultimate manifestation of what I called that stage. You just land on a Bowser space, i.e.
yeah,
Mario Party.
Yeah, that's it. That's what it was called, the Mario Party. Yeah, I finished it. I enjoyed it.
I think everybody who's been on the show as a regular cast member since we've been on it has finished that stage.
Nice.
But like, that was one I struggled to get a clean clear on. Because as you said, that's one of the things. You can try to make these stages that... You know, the extreme version of this is the auto runs, which I kind of, like, the first one or two times, like, okay, that's kind of cool. But now every time I get one, I go, oh, skip. Which is weird, because all I have to do is put the controller down and just let it happen.
It's a matter of principle.
Like, I've had ones where I try to play the auto run stage because they're like, oh, look, it's another German with an auto run stage. Thanks, game. Which, by the way, if you want to know the words for autorun in German, you'll learn them real fast, because for whatever reason, there's a lot of German autorun stages.
Okay.
I was like, this is weird. I've noticed this odd trend. I like the ones, though, where the name doesn't give you a lot, where it's after the fact, you get it together. Like, you're like, oh. So the one that I was toying with, where you just had to know that you can do the spin jump in the air, I wanted to just call it one weird trick. And just leave it at that. And then if you cleared it, you'd know what I was talking about. But going in, you got nothing. But there's something about like that lets you... And the stages are all personal, obviously. They're user-created. But there's something about how somebody names it that gives you kind of an insight into their state of mind when they made it. Like, more than I expected. So when somebody just calls it a stage with a lot of booze, I'm like, all right, they sat there and they put down a lot of booze and they named the stage. Good job. But when somebody goes in there and gives it a name, you're like, wait, what the hell are they talking about? And then you get in there and you figure out, it kind of makes you think, oh, okay, this person gets me mentally. I appreciate this. This is nice. I don't know. It's just, you can, there's so much you can read about a person from the stages sometimes. It's kind of surprising.
Yeah, like I said, that's part of the fun at the moment, is just seeing what people make, you know, see what the sort of the trends are generally, but then obviously within, you know, the people that I've got on Miiverse or whatever, you know, seeing, you know, what they're making, you know, what kind of stages they're coming up with. Obviously, like, played your levels, Johnny's levels. John's made one so far. He obviously is traveling now, so he won't be getting deep diving all the way in. But, you know, I look forward to seeing what comes out of John's mind.
Yeah, I mean, there was one stage where somebody had put down, so the sound effects, some of them have like big visual things that go with them. And one of them is like a rave, and there's lasers, and there's spotlights, and there's music. It's crazy. Somebody made a stage called Mario's Party. And it's just a long haul. It's as long a haul as they could possibly make it, just snaking around. And
oh god,
every tile is that stupid sound effect. And I just thought, this person is an asshole. Like, I hate this person, but I'm going to clear this stage so I can leave a Miiverse comment on it going, you are an asshole, sir.
Oh, no. You don't can't have leave to that. I said just like someone, you know, a listener made a level that was kind of tricky. So I posted that you jerk, and my comment was removed by a moderator for bullying.
Oh. Bullying. You can't just sort of, you know, tick a box that says gentle ribbing. do not delete.
I know this guy, comma, it's okay.
Is that why your comment on my one level where that was something? Is that why it was that the make?
Yeah,
because like you couldn't say what you wanted to say.
Exactly.
Oh.
It's as tame, but I get the, you know, I guess the meaning got through.
Oh, that's I'm gonna need to go ahead and start reviewing all Guillaume's posts. I don't want him to give the show a bad impression. I'll just start reporting all his posts. I did find kind of a perverse joy anytime somebody posts a negative comment on one of my stages, giving it a yeah. Like, there's something about, like,
if you comment, it gets starred. doesn't it? Like a comment, mate, if you bother to comment, that that counts as starring it, which is odd.
Right. So it's just like the goal when you create levels, not necessarily to please people.
It's provoke a reaction. Get,
yeah, to provoke a reaction, exactly.
Rise above indifference.
But just having comments out there where somebody's like, too easy, boring. You just go in there and just hit it with the yeah, because I like to imagine in their head they're going, the fuck, why did he yeah me on a stage that I... Like, I've seen stages where they're just begging for comments. It's like, oh, god damn it. This is the dark heart of Mario Maker. This was just going to turn into people asking for comments. Yeah, and then every time they pick up a coin, the cat slap comes and slaps Mario.
So, yeah, like, people are trawling for yes, for stars, because when you get stars, you get eventually at 50 stars, you get, you can... Instead of posting just 10 levels, you can post 20.
Right.
And yeah. I think it's just a linear progression, right? Like, you've got 100.
I'm only up to 20 right now. 20 is my max.
Oh, really? But you've got 100 stars. So
I may have gotten them since I last checked it, because I got caught in the dark heart of plague of the plague add-on for Shovel Knight.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So hopefully it's a linear progression, not exponential. Like, you need
5,000 to get 30 stars.
Yeah.
Damn it!
But it's a good number. I mean, I think that discoverability is kind of a problem. Like,
there's already a million stages posted.
Absolutely. And
literally. They announced that,
like,
today.
You get a trickle if you're just waiting for people to stumble upon your stage by playing the 100 Marios mode. But so, like, if you've got a lot of followers on Twitter, or if you post on Facebook or whatever, if you use social media, you've got a leg up on other people. Or if you record a podcast that's listened by Nintendo fans. But I think that it's not so bad. Like, 10 levels is a lot. Like, you know, when you think about it, like, creating 10 levels demands a lot of time. And so that's a good start. And then 20, I don't know. Like, I'm not near that number. And I think it's not so bad. Like,
And at some point, your earlier stages, maybe it's time to, you know, as you unlock more stuff, maybe you want to go back and give them an extra layer of something.
Right. And so when you update, or... You can't really update. You can't edit. What you can do is go back to the stage, modify it, re-upload it, and it's going to be a different stage.
Right.
And you can safely erase the old one, and you're not going to lose your stars or anything.
Does it delete the Miiverse posts?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Because that would be really confusing if it didn't. So, like, this game might have one of the deeper Miiverse integrations I've ever seen. Hmm. I mean, it's up there with maybe like the Smash Brothers stage, which is just delightful in its own stupid way. But,
oh god, yeah.
But like, this is, you know, they've really been doing a better job integrating Miiverse in their last few core releases. And Splatoon does a really good job with it. In fact, just to the point where Bad Miiverse Post Twitter account really just had everything they could ever want for a while because of the Splatoon integration. But
people love memes.
There you go. But this one really, I mean, it's kind of almost a mechanic to the gameplay, because it is how you get access to those more stages.
In some cases, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, like, say, for instance, if you're playing a level, you know, in particular, if someone's trying to make, say, like, a ghost house or something like that, I mean, even if you haven't got the... You could sort of switch, like, the comments between the TV or the gamepad or both or off altogether. And, like, I think even sometimes, even say, for instance, if you've actually got the comments displaying fully on the screen that you're not playing, it's possible to actually look just at the location of those little speech bubbles and think, is there a hidden block there? Is that why someone posted it?
Something is curious.
So, you know, it's like, and then I'm kind of like, is this more fun if I switch these off altogether, or more fun if I've got these weird little clues that may or may not be anything? It's an interesting experience.
Right, like, there was a case where I played through a level and I saw someone commented about finding a hidden feather, and I had no idea. Like, I could see at the end of the level that there were alternate routes, but I would never have found that feather on my own. So, I probably wouldn't have replayed the level having finished it. So yeah, no, it's a good thing to have, and also it's good to have feedback when you're billing level and you want people to leave comments and tell you what works and what doesn't.
Too
like,
easy,
cool.
Boring.
Yeah, like I played one of TYP's levels, and it was far from too easy.
I know the one you're on about, Yoshi's, Yoshi's
really,
tricky
really,
tricks.
Yeah, and it really uses all of Yoshi's tricks.
It's Yoshi in a castle. It's my dream come true, circa 1991.
No, it's very, very cool. But there was a spot where you could lose Yoshi, so I was like, hey, TYP, like maybe put a block here so that Yoshi doesn't fall to his death if he loses him.
I agree very much with that.
You're going to hate the stage I'm working on.
Yoshi was required to drop
Yoshi a few times. It's fine.
Right. But in this case, Yoshi was required to finish the level. So instead of being at the dead end, you want to keep Yoshi around. So, so TYP updated the stage and re-uploaded it and fixed it. So that's pretty cool. And you can see exactly, like, you don't have to describe in a Miiverse post, like, oh, like, you know, describing Mario stage, it's not easy.
No, but the screenshot there, you know, it's there. You know, I do want to make this point about Yoshi. That, you know, I mean, the way that like people killing pets is like a predictor of them being psychopaths. Or these people have. You know, I'm not, you know, saying anything in particular about Neil, except Lauren, get out of the house. Get out now.
We've been saying that for years. What are you talking
about?
That
man is evil. He's created multiple. Well, I guess one of them was on the media server that's since been retired. Multiple Yoshi killing stages dedicated to killing Yoshis. Sick.
Awful.
Sick.
Man. I want a stage where literally every jump requires you to off another Yoshi.
The dead Yoshi Society level that he made on the media server pretty much was that. The second one on the public server is not as gratuitous, but still horrific.
How many Yoshis can you drop in one stage?
My riposte to that is my latest level, Cheese Bridge Justice. I'll let you figure out how that plays out.
That's a wonderful pull. So, I guess we'll go around if anybody's got any final thoughts as we start to wrap this up. I mean, we've said quite a bit, and of course, we'll have more to talk about when John gets back and when. You know, we've all gotten some more skill with the level creator and have started making things and finding stuff. Is there anything else that you guys want to talk about before we wrapped it up?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the biggest thing that I've tried to do so far is with my levels, apart from Cheese Bridge Justice, as a very specific purpose, but it's to try and do like where the level can be played in two ways, broadly speaking, kind of a patient way and a hasty way. To try and appeal to, you know, different kinds of players or whatever, you know. And I guess the thing that's interesting about that is like, you know, will anybody ever play them more than once? You know, to like see both ways. Is it really worthwhile? I don't know, because I guess the thing is I don't know. It's different from a real quote unquote Mario game. You know, you've got level design, but. You've also got the sequence of levels, you know, that in themselves creates a learning curve and all that kind of stuff. You know, obviously in this case you don't have that. So in some ways I feel like, you know, I'm happier for a level to be like ridiculously hard because it's not like it's stopping me from seeing other levels. You know, that's the problem,
right,
with a ridiculously hard level in a linear game is like, well. You know, I can't see the rest of the game because this is busting my balls. Like, that's different. You know, when it's, like, the last thing in the game, like the Grandmaster whatever in Galaxy 2 or, you know, Super 3D World or whatever, like, it's the last thing.
Yes.
Why not have it be ridiculously hard? And with Mario Maker, it's well, you know, there is no linear progression. So you kind of, everyone's at liberty to do that. So in one way, I'm kind of happy for like, if it's got some thought behind it rather than just be sort of, you know, arbitrary or punishing, I'm quite happy for it to be difficult. I'm quite happy to try and make a challenging level myself. But on the other hand, you just kind of feel like how many people are just going to, you know, gong show me you know,
right? immediately bail.
I've done it to plenty of other levels, you know. I mean, will anyone ever see the thought that went into it? Because it's just like, oh, this is quite, you know, it's just I don't know. It's kind of this. There's something great about the very instant quality of the game, but then you also wonder whether that kind of limits how much lots of people are really going to experience, you know, what you put into it. So I do feel like we are fortunate in that we have a group of people, you know, that we know within this community online, where, like you said, it, you know, the psychology of it is interesting, and so you're more likely to actually really like drill into the level design and what they're doing, and maybe play it more than once and all that kind of stuff.
So one question I had, because you made me think of it with your discussion of Cheese Bridge. There's no vertical saws, are there?
No, I couldn't. Oh. I couldn't recreate it exactly by any means.
That was what I was sitting there playing some of the Super Mario World stages, going, God, I feel like something's missing now that I've got this track. And it just hit me now what it was. It's depressing, because I was gonna just recreate Cheese Bridge area exactly, and just call it Cheese Bridge Redux.
I managed to recreate as closely as I can one section of that, but the platforms don't travel at the same speed, you don't have the vertical saws, so I had to change it quite a lot too, but yeah, try and capture some of the spirit, and so that people will understand the reference if they don't know the name of that level off by heart or something, but you know, it's not exact, but I made a go of it. I'll let people decide.
You be the judge.
I
was gonna mention one thing I want to talk about before we, you know, as our kind of final topics area, is that when they kind of made these negotiated settlements here for this game behaves differently than this game behaves differently than this game, in some cases they really, you know, especially in Super Mario Brothers, you know, they put in all that functionality. They could have made Mario wall jump in Super Mario Brothers, but they recognized that would be weird, so they didn't do it. But in the case of, like we're talking about, where the platforms move at different speeds in different games, so they've kind of picked this. Looks like they've picked the new Super Mario Brothers speed, I guess.
Because I mean, there's some harmonization, because, you know, for instance, like the way power ups work, you know, in terms of like, well, if you get a fire flower and you get hit, do you go back down to Little Mario, or do you go back just to Super Mario? You know, like that's been harmonized, which that was not the same across all the games necessarily, but you know, that's kind of been harmonized across some of the games. So yeah, they have made some changes. It's interesting what changes, you know, they chose to make and which ones they avoided. Like you said, I guess keeping the wall jumping isolated to New Super Mario Brothers at least gives that, you know, because it's not people's sort of generally their aesthetic favorite. Maybe that's the best way to give people an incentive to actually use it, is the sort of more advanced physical nature of that game.
But that can definitely render some stages impassable in other...
You can't just say, I've made this stage in New Super Mario, but actually, let's make it Super Mario World. Just click the thing on the side, change the thing, because then, all of a sudden you've got something that doesn't work anymore, and you couldn't upload it if you wanted to, because you wouldn't be able to finish it.
Yeah, I was kind of curious by how they made some of those decisions, because there's a couple things where, you know, you do it and it jumps right at you. It's like, oh... I found it happens most when I get into a stage I'm making and I'm hewing really closely to an original stage from the source game, and you know, I get stuck in that window where I'm playing it, and then I got to do something, and then I met with the death music, and I went, huh, and then it sort of clicks. I wonder if that's something that, you know, we're obviously way way ahead of the curve in terms of fandom for the series. From the average person playing this game, I would imagine. I don't know. On the Wii U's demographics, that may not be the case. But
smaller sample size.
Yeah, but to an extent, I wonder if that bothers people at large or if it's just kind of us.
Well, I did throw on Twitter, like, I asked people, like, is it just me or are the pipes, like the piranha plants, behaving differently than any other Mario game? And people definitely noticed. Because you can't play... this game when there's pipes and piranha plants in them. You can't play this game the way that you would a regular Mario game. In the past Mario games, you usually, like, if you wait a little bit, you see the piranha plants pop out, and then you know, okay, so this pipe is not safe. There's something in it, and yeah. I gotta time my jumps. But in Super Mario Maker, for some reason, it takes a long time before
react. It's like you gotta get with it. It seems like it takes longer to sort of trigger it.
So yeah, it seems like maybe there's some sort of radius, or maybe like there's just takes longer for that first time. But then once the piranha plant pops out, then the rhythm is kind of the old rhythm. Like
I noticed that in one of the levels that I made, I had like fireballs coming out of pipes, and I'd sort of noticed that they you kind of had to get close to them to trigger them before they started. And I ended up actually working that into the design of the level from the point of view that if you just take that bit really fast, you will sail through it because you'll be past them before the fire ever starts coming out. You know, so you could kind of, once you get used to it, you know, you can make certain decisions. But yeah, it's the game logic is a little bit different. You know, it's not entirely, I'm sure it's your part of getting this system to work, you know, to the point that it is as user-friendly and kind of easy to put these things in. And you know, there's not a lot of, you know, you're making these levels that can be pretty intricate, and you know, you're not using a lot of menus or that. It's all very user-friendly, very intuitive, and I guess there's probably some compromises that have been made there in terms of maybe restricting your choices or doing some things automatically to make that possible. But you know, obviously Mario is a gaming language that a lot of people already understand, so to speak, but this has its own little bit of dialect to it.
Yeah, like I am disappointed by that, like, to be honest, because you've got Mario Maker. Like, I can live without having all the tools, without having the exact physics for each of these games represented in here. Like, that's fine. I can understand that. But the pipes thing really bothered me, and I don't know. Like, it kind of makes it feel like, okay, you can create your Mario games, but they're slightly off-brand. And just feels like, I don't know, I'm disappointed also because Nintendo can't really fix it, because otherwise, like, it's quite possible someone could make stages that are possible to get through just because of that delay. And then if Nintendo were to patch the game, then
it'd be kind of like with the Smash Brothers replays that get broken every time before they put the YouTube thing after like the 10th update.
Hey, I know we broke your replays again. Yep. We're sorry.
Yeah, so it could invalidate so many of the levels already made.
And, unless you force people to go back and re-clear them all, which would be brutal. I mean, they would almost have to implement a way where the non-creator, the person who didn't make the level, could sort of vet them and just go like, this is beatable, this isn't beatable. But yeah, it would be difficult, to say the least. I don't know, overall, I'm happy with the package. I expected that creating levels would be where I got the most fun out of, and that's definitely how I've spent the most time.
Mm-hmm.
So, to an extent, yeah, I'm excited now that I've got everything, what I can do with it. It's just, like, I'm trying to figure out what... It's harder than I imagined to come up with that little kernel of an idea.
Right.
Like, that one little thing that would set the stage up, besides making, like I said, making an obvious joke. I mean... It's more difficult than I expected, actually. I mean, it's easy just to make a stage hard by just filling it with shit. I uploaded one or two of those where it's just like, here is a lot of garbage. It can be done, but just fuck you in advance. But actually creating a stage that's really clever, I think, is actually really difficult. And I think even, you know, I've probably only played 50 of the state randomly assigned stages and then about 40 of the Nintendo stages. I'd say even in the ones Nintendo's given, there's only been a couple where I thought, oh, that was really clever.
Yeah, well, a lot of them are even more slight than I expected, the sample courses. You know, I mean, if you compare this to something like Bangaio Spirits, which I reviewed for NWR many moons ago, I mean, that's got a similar sort of aim in terms of, you know, well, it's got a level editor and, you know, the all the levels on the cartridge are levels that were made using the same tools and all that, and it's kind of giving you a sort of big interactive playbook of, you know, the kinds of things that could be done. I just kind of felt like that had more fully formed kind of ideas for levels in it than these do. But the thing is, because Bangai are so niche, you know, there's more of a burden on them to do that. I mean, that's the, as you said, we've already got a million levels, you know, like they didn't really have to put that much on the disc to give you, you know, a sense of whatever, because, you know, the community was going to start making stuff pretty quickly. But it's worth unlocking those Nintendo World Championship levels. They are pretty fun.
Yeah, I think I need to do that. I was hoping that those stages would do more to give ideas of what you can
do.
Yeah,
I think some of them do, but they tend to be kind of more like just idea, you have snippets, you know? It's not really like, here's an idea and how you could kind of build on it in a level. You know, that's the real thing that I always go, so what is an idea that you can have and then, like, that you can iterate on within that level and see it progress and reprise different elements in a, you know, certain ways and play with people's expectations, all that kind of stuff. You know, with this, it's, I mean, quite a few of the sample levels are little more than a screen. So, you know, it really is just an idea, you know. But, I mean, you could take that and do all the iterating and stuff, but it just does, it doesn't kind of show you that method as much, you know, about how to, you know, I mean, there's a lot of talk about it in the manual and stuff, like, you know, have a theme, all that, you know. I mean, the manual's quite fun if you poke around in it, the digital manual, and but no art book for me, by the way, obviously, because over here we don't have the whole ring up to get your art book.
Well, yeah, I mean, the difference being that the art book in Europe is also a hardcover thing.
It's a nice looking thing. It's a shame.
Here it's basically a pamphlet you'd get shilling a new car.
Right, but there is a PDF if you want to.
Yeah, you could look at the you could look at the PDF. And like I said, just the digital manuals got some nice text about stuff. But you know, showing is generally better. And I think the sample levels could have done a better job of showing, you know, how you can kind of string these ideas together and stuff. But I still had fun playing through the lot of them until I hit those World Championship levels.
Yeah. That's cool. Guillaume, anything you want to say before we wrap it up?
Yeah, the last thing I mentioned was kind of a down note, just because, like, oh, it's not Mario, it's kind of off-brand Mario. But overall, like, I think I'm enjoying the level creation more than I thought I would. It's really, really easy to use, and I don't know, I get a kick out of getting feedback on my levels, so please give me stars.
I guess instead of the you know, totally superfluous Twitter plugs, we should do Miiverse IDs now.
Yeah,
right.
So I'm definitely going to include those in the game, in the podcast article as well. But we can go around real quick. I'm Z Krim, which is weird. It was inherited from Club Nintendo. Thank you, awesome Nintendo account system that makes find abilities super hard. Greg,
So I'm Yoshidius, which is just Yoshi and then Dious on the end.
And then Guillaume.
I don't even know. Am I Guillaume? Am I Pandarius?
I think Pandarius, isn't it?
Hold on 1 second. I could tell you, because I have the Miiverse up right now, because I also had to check. And I could just look at who my friends are. And Guillaume, you're my friend. If this ever loads. Oh, no, it's just friends. Oh, it's the most recent Miiverse post from friends. Well,
oh, my God. Lindemann, yeah, I think it is.
It's Pandarius.
Lindemann is Mr. Diamond J, listed for whatever reason as his name as NWR_Lindy. For some reason that I don't quite understand. And Guillaume, where the hell are you?
I show up as Guillaume.
There it is. Yeah, Pandarius, but your name is Guillaume.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll post, you know, I'll post links to those, as well as, you know, Johnny and TYP and some other of our friends in the show notes for this article. I'll just do direct links to their Miiverse page. That probably works. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know how links work. Can you use the browser on the Wii U to get to the Miiverse? Oh, no, you can use the Miiverse directly. Never mind, I'm an idiot.
The Miiverse
is built into the Wii U. Hey, guys.
Actually, what I've been using to share my levels online I've been taking using the screenshot feature, and so like when you get the code on the screen, just bring up the home screen, go to use the Wii U browser and go to i.nintendo.net, and that's the page where you can take the screen capture and add a short message and send it to like Twitter or Tumblr or Facebook.
i.nintendo.net.
i.nintendo.net. Okay.
Also will be in the show notes because I did not know that. Thank you, Guillaume. Yeah. So I'll give some mechanism for you all to find our stages. And of course, we've been getting a lot of emails, tweets, posts in our various talkback threads, both on the Nintendo World Report and on NeoGAF, of people suggesting their stages they can play. Please keep doing that because I think that's a good idea. I think we'll go through. I'm certainly planning on going through these guys' stages and the stages you're sending, and maybe have some comments about them. Maybe have some comments that will get deleted about them.
Too easy, boring.
Yep, too easy, boring. Yes, plus. So yeah, please send us your creations. Please don't send us your creations when you're just a terrible monster. I mean, we've got enough of that.
I could take it. I could take it.
Send Greg your terrible monsters.
It's one level. You know, you just, if you give up, you give up. It doesn't really.
You just hold the minus button. It's fine.
It's, you know, I don't really see.
Four seconds of shame, then it's all over.
Yeah.
That's fine. So you can send those to us. Like I said, either Twitter, message boards, or our email, where you could send questions. Questions like, asking us about Nintendo's reorganization and its new CEO, which we'll talk about next week, I'm almost certain, especially if you send us questions about it. The email is rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. Also always in the show notes. Always in the show notes. Our end music this week is the orchestra medley from New Super Mario Bros. Wii that was part of the Press Start 2010 concert arranged by Takeshi Hama. We're going to go ahead and actually include a link to that in the bottom of the article. If you haven't noticed, we're trying to include information about what it is. If you find music that's interesting to you, you can check it down there. But on that, we'll be back next week with a full episode with your questions and the winner of our poll for the next retroactive. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.